This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two Democrats running for State House. Coming up, Kalamazoo Township Trustee Pamela Brown Goodacre, who is seeking the seat for the district that includes the city of Kalamazoo. But first, there will be a new representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District next year. The current representative, Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. Three Democrats are running for the open seat, which includes the city of Battle Creek. That includes Battle Creek City Commissioner Andy Helmbolt. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thanks for having me.
Andy Helmbolt, why don't you begin by telling the audience a little bit more about yourself and briefly tell us why you're running for State House.
All right. Thank you. I've been a resident of the district, a resident of Battle Creek, for 15 years. I'm originally from northern Kent County, north of Grand Rapids, rural small towns up there. Went to college at Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant and then moved down here for a job after graduation. I have a degree, a BS in education degree. Started off as a teacher. I taught in public schools for 3 years as a junior high social studies teacher. Left that to go into business for myself, doing graphic design, websites, photography, all that kind of sort of marketing and getting the word out stuff, mostly for other small businesses and nonprofits in the Battle Creek community. And over time, you know, getting to know my new adopted hometown, starting to be involved in more things in the community, serving on boards, commissions, you know, volunteering and different things like that. You know, start to get the town more, get to know where the power is and isn't. And then eventually marrying that with my, you know, social studies background and deciding to run for public office. So I have been on the Battle Creek City Commission as an at-large city commissioner representing the whole city for 2 terms now. And then with this, you know, with Kate's seat coming open, I want to make sure that we are sending somebody good to Lansing. You know, I'm going to keep fighting for the people of the 62nd District, making sure we have, you know, high quality education for every child, no matter who they are, where they are, who their parents are, where they live, and that we have a healthy economy that works for everyone. And that's, you know, the doors of the state of Michigan are open to everyone to be happy and successful.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Andy Helmbolt.
Let's jump into roads. Lots of complaints, maybe not as quite as many proposals to solve those complaints. Calhoun County townships, we've got an estimate to get all those roads in the townships to good condition. That's $284 million. Do you have an answer for filling the potholes?
For $284 million, I don't have a single answer, no. There are enough bake sales in the world, right? You know, we've seen lots of proposals, you know, at the state level. We've seen those, you know, our townships, local townships looking at ways of funding their own work on their own roads, which I think is definitely a commendable way to approach a situation. Clearly, the state government has failed itself and its people over the last couple of decades in allowing the roads to deteriorate to the point where they are now, where we've dug ourselves an incredibly expensive hole. So it's going to take an investment by the taxpayers of Michigan to get ourselves out of this. And I think it's going to necessitate, you know, a variety of revenue streams being dedicated to roads. And I think one of the largest problems is that just even structurally in the budget, there's just, here, take this money and put it into roads without any regard of, well, what does it cost to maintain our roads? We need to kind of work backwards and say, here's what it costs to maintain my roads, or even not just roads, but to educate a kid, let's say. And here's what it's going to cost. Here's what it ought to cost to deliver a quality service and infrastructure to our people. And then say, okay, then if that's what it costs, then here's the revenue we need to generate and put that dollar amount out there and say, here we go, you know, people of the state of Michigan, this is what we need to pay for the roads that you want to have. You know, and as we've seen, the details of that, I think, are a combination of, you know, an increase in the gas tax. That seems like it's going to be part of the solution, which I think is appropriate. Clearly, people are with a flat amount, you know, with a flat tax on gallons of gas, are you in the amount of gas being consumed dropping, then, you know, we're paying less in taxes. There's less revenue going into that in that stream. And so we need to make up that difference with a structure that actually, you know, a tax, gasoline tax structure that, you know, actually serves to maintain that revenue source.
Should there be an increase in vehicle registration fees to perhaps make up for what may not come through the gas tax as people find more fuel-efficient cars?
I think it would be fair to look at that as well. I think we need to look at it in ways that that have fairness in mind, and that's, you know, we have really high weight limits for trucks. We have the penalties for exceeding those limits could be higher, you know, which all kind of folds into, if you're putting a vehicle on our roads and you're responsible for a lot of the wear and tear on those roads, and you benefit from those roads, you know, more than someone else, we should have, you know, a fairer sliding scale of what it costs to run a vehicle on our roads.
Jennifer?
Personal property tax reform. There is a proposal on the August ballot to replace that revenue with a portion of the use tax. So is that the way to go, especially with Battle Creek and all the manufacturing facilities we have? What do you think?
Yes, yes. I'm in support of repealing the PPT. We've been given reasonable insurance assurance that that revenue will be replaced for our municipalities. Still not there. The way it's structured is not a 100% guarantee, but that's the intent. And, you know, for the sake of, okay, let's figure this out together, I'm willing to go along with that for now. You know,
would you have voted for the increase in the minimum wage, which was approved in the legislature and then signed into law by Governor Snyder recently?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Why?
I think it was, I think it was long overdue to be raised. If, I mean, if we're going to have a minimum wage that says if you're employing people in our communities, you ought to be paying, you know, paying them a wage that we don't have to subsidize with other government, you know, programs. That's fair. Would I'd like to have seen it a little higher? Sure. But, you know, it's part of, you know, part of government is compromising, coming together, and nobody gets exactly what they wish for. And, so I was supportive of it.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Andy Helmbolt. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. The current representative, Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. And Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is also here. Jennifer?
I'm staying on the topic of minimum wage. I mean, you're aware of the proposal to have it higher than what was approved. Wouldn't have taken your chances, would have voted for that. Taking that compromise that was put together instead of saying, hey, let's see what the voters have to say?
Yes, I would have voted for it. Because like you say, it was a compromise. You know, people from across the aisle came together to vote for it and said, okay, here, this isn't what some of us would like it would be. It's way more than others would like it would be. You know, let's take the deal and move on, and we can always, you know, keep working together on the future. I like that it's indexed to cost of living, which it hasn't been in the past, which sort of at least builds in some annual increase. So, yeah, I still would have been in support of it.
Let me ask you about a couple social issues.
Sure.
Should the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act be amended to include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity?
Absolutely. I'm proud of the fact that I led the effort to get an ordinance, local ordinance in Battle Creek passed to provide those exact protections for the people of Battle Creek. And it absolutely should be a part of our state civil rights law.
As of now, the ban on same-sex marriage in Michigan is being decided in the federal courts. But if it were up to you to wave a magic wand, would same-sex marriage be legal in Michigan?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, number one is my belief that it would just be the right, decent, moral thing to do. I know there is, we do have a ban as a result of the vote of the people. And I know that you know, the previous candidates you've had in here have sort of, I guess, hid behind that argument. But my view is we don't vote on rights. Part of the beauty of the American system of government is that we have democracy, majority rule, but in a way that protects the rights of minorities. The people of a state, you know, shouldn't be allowed to vote away someone's constitutional rights to equal protection under the law. You know, I represent the people of Battle Creek, but my oath of office doesn't say anything about will of the people. It says do my job and uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America.
So from where you sit, the judge in Detroit did the right thing.
Absolutely. He struck it down. Absolutely. I think my view since the people of Michigan voted was that it wasn't a constitutionally acceptable thing to do.
Jennifer?
What about religious rights? Those who are opposed to same-sex marriage have that argument that my religious rights need to be protected. Is there room for that?
Absolutely. If you are a member of a religion that doesn't believe a certain type of marriage should be, then your church doesn't have to perform those marriages. And I think that religious freedom argument cuts both ways. For the most part, we're talking about Christianity, and Christian beliefs gets the most attention. That's probably the most. I mean, there are certainly other religions at play here, but there are Christian churches who believe morally and with a strong theological background that gay marriage is perfectly acceptable. So why shouldn't those churches be able to perform gay marriages if they want to? That cuts both ways from a religious freedom standpoint, I believe.
But let's deal with perhaps the more complicated issue as some people would see it. The landlord, who is the member of the church that doesn't believe in gay marriage and holds those beliefs very strongly, and a same-sex couple comes to his door and says, we'd like to rent the apartment that you say you have available.
Well, now you're getting back into the arguments for the Elliot Larson, the civil rights, protecting housing, employment, that sort of thing. I think we did away with, colored only drinking fountains in movie theaters and that sort of thing. And I think this is the same thing. If you're going to do business in the public marketplace, then there should be, a minimum level of, here's what it means to do business in that marketplace. Here's what it means to do that business in America, is that everyone is welcome in that marketplace and you shouldn't be, prohibited from selling your labor, from consuming goods and services, rentals, because of that. Now, I think in what we did in the Battle Creek Ordinance and what has been common in all the local ordinances we've seen is I think it is fair and appropriate to provide exemptions for entities that have a religious purpose, churches. If the purpose in what you do is religious and the purpose of you existing is to, worship and promote your religion, then I think it's fair, for your employees who are doing that work to have to, subscribe to that religion. And that's a pretty common exemption in the local ordinance we've seen and would be fairly easy to work into the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act.
Should marijuana be decriminalized or legalized?
Legalized completely? I'm not too sure about legalized completely. Kind of torn. I see both sides. I mean, alcohol is legal, smoking is legal, why not marijuana? But I think we are in a little bit different area there. But decriminalization is a route I definitely think that we need to take. The quote-unquote war on drugs in America has been an ongoing failure for decades now, and clearly criminalization of drug use has not worked. It just doesn't work. Not only doesn't it work in its practical application, it disproportionately affects people of color and poor people. And any kind of system that has that kind of effect, we need to look at and say, this is not right. It's not going. It's not doing anything for us. It's damaging us rather than helping us. We need to focus more effort on drug abuse, from a health, addiction, and recovery standpoint, rather than just criminalizing it all.
Andy Humboldt, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Jen.
Andy Humboldt is a Battle Creek City Commissioner. He is running for state representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. And we want to thank Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.